Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
You hear that, Matt?
He's complaining already. Already! 10 seconds into the show, and he's complaining. He's saying Matt doesn't work hard enough.
That's not at all.
And we need a new intro to the show on Wednesdays and
Thursdays.
I'm just
saying, if it's going to be a throwdown Thursday, if it's going to be a windbag Wednesday, can I at least be a part of the imaging?
Sure. Why don't you ask your pal Longfellow T-Wad on Twitter, who just followed me.
You're just now getting the follow from Longfellow? He's been following you, boob.
No, he's just, I'll show it to you on my computer. He just followed me.
See,
Whoever it is.
See, that is a telltale sign of you being old as hell. People do not use Twitter on their computer. Matt does because he's doing it for work. You're not a producer, Chris Russell. Use your smartphone.
I use my phone all the time.
It's 104. It's my last barbecue for the rest of the show.
Oh,
I'm excited. The NFL is back tonight.
Yes, that's what we should be celebrating. Before we celebrate that, though,
we can celebrate something else.
Yeah, well,
I'm celebrating it. Don't know how other people are taking it, but I'm in a celebratory mood over it.
I think celebration is the wrong thing, honestly.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about what we decided to open up the show with, what we have to acknowledge,
I'm pulling a Doc Walker. you get back to me when you're done with this.
Okay. Well, see, I react to breaking news, and the organization made a decision this morning that they should have made yesterday or the day before or the day before or what have you, and they have now fired that vice president of content, and they have moved on from him, as they correctly should have, obviously. Real Antin was terminated this morning. Again, it shouldn't have taken until this morning, but I'll grant them a pass, being that they did the right thing. And here's the deal. I'm just going to say this. What he was set up for was not cool, and I've heard a lot of people on professionally, personally, what have you, say kind of feel bad in some way for Real Antin that he was gotcha in this secret video, and apparently he met this woman on Hinder or Tinder or one of these dating. I have no idea. But he was fired this morning, and that is the only correct solution to all of this, period. The Washington Commanders, in no way, shape, or form, could sit behind whatever apparatus they have, phone, laptop, desk, Oval Office, wherever, and whoever made this decision, I assume it probably got to Josh at some point. I don't know that, but I assume. There is absolutely no other thing that you should focus on in this whole matter other than they fired him. And they immediately acknowledged when it became public yesterday, late morning, early afternoon. I guess it was early yesterday afternoon, that it was authentic, it was real, that was their guy, and that they had suspended him immediately. And I said on yesterday's show they should have fired him. I think Linnell felt the same way. I don't want to speak for you. But they fired him this morning, and I don't celebrate in any way, shape, or form anybody getting fired, losing their gig, getting gotcha'd, because maybe it'll happen to me. I don't
know. Homie, don't play that.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe it'll happen to me, all right? But, Linnell, I'm telling you, I don't talk like that in my private life. I don't say the kind of, I mean, we didn't even have the full story yesterday. And what he said, I mentioned it at the end of the show about Jerry Jones, and there was some other part of it that, I don't know. I don't want to relitigate all of this, but the only correct thing for the Commanders organization to do, the only correct thing to do, regardless of whether he was set up unfairly or not, secretly recorded, a hatchet job, whatever you want to label it as, the only correct thing for them to do was to say, we were employing a monster and we got him. We got rid of him as soon as we were basically made aware. That's it.
That's it.
Okay. So you're in agreement.
Yeah. Okay. What else are they going to do? Keep him?
Well, I mean, they could have.
Promote him?
They could. Well, they had already done that about a year and a half ago.
Did they really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Bill was moving on up.
I told you that. He's been with them for 4 years and, you know, this month. Like, he was, you know, he's been promoted already. And he falls under the Jason Wright jurisdiction. Jason Wright had to ultimately sign off and hire him. I don't know if Jason Wright, like, 100% physically hired him. I have no idea. But the bottom line is, he had been with the organization for 4 years. And I don't know. I mean, maybe he just was the victim of just the worst circumstances, and he met some chick on a dating app, and she just happened to have a GoPro, and she just happened to get him to open up and talk about all this stuff about Roger Goodell, about the NFL, about NFL players, about black players, about this, about that, about fans. Maybe that all was just a terrible, terrible victim of circumstance. And I guess it could happen to anybody. But I'm telling you, I firmly believe there was a reason. There was some sort of something that went into setting this process up.
Oh, 100%. Anyone that thinks otherwise is completely oblivious.
Exactly.
You don't see me. I go on Tinder dates pretty often.
You do?
No. Wink, wink. But no one's asking me.
You have the Tinder app on your phone?
I actually do have the Tinder app on my phone.
Oh, gosh.
That's what happens when you put your social media consultant on administrative leave.
Yes.
You got to go scout other services.
Yes. When you put her on administrative leave.
I'm always moist, baby.
Exactly.
Well, that was the problem.
No, exactly.
Maybe that's why I'm consultant free.
So is there a hinder? I heard it was not
a hinder. It's called a hinge.
Yeah, hinge, whatever.
Good God, you're worse than Coach Belichick.
I mean, I have no idea. Yeah, snap face and all that. I mean, I am on snap face, I will tell you that much. Wait, is that? No, Snapgram. So, what is it? Instagram, IG, or the gram as the kids call it. Anyway, the Commanders did the right thing. They should have done it yesterday. They should have done it the day before. They should have gotten ahead of it. They didn't. It took them a little bit of time to recover here, but they did the right thing. They're not just putting him on administrative leave. They're not just suspending him. They said, okay, maybe you are the victim of bad circumstances and we feel bad for that. We're going to let somebody else feel bad for you and make the decision to hire you. We're not going to continue this, especially at the vice president level. This is what this organization had to do. Again, the only quibble that I would have is that they didn't do it yesterday. That's it. They did the right thing today, regardless of the circumstances. And by the way, I there are people that feel genuinely bad for Ray Allentine. I do not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I do not. And if I was ever busted on candid camera or there used to be like a taxi cab confession show on HBO and I said some stupid things being a somewhat public personality, right? If I said some mean, ignorant, awful things, guess what? Whether I was told or not, whether I was granted permission, whether I was set up or not, for whatever the circumstances were, and the horniest guy on the universe.
Hey,
slow down.
Wow.
Slow down. That is not true. Whatever the circumstances are, I would be fired, and I should be fired. And I would never, ever blame Odyssey or any employer for not standing by me and not letting the justice for criminal system play itself out. This has nothing to do with legal and illegal. This is private business, private practice, the end, period. Just like the Brandon McManus situation, which wasn't even a criminal situation. Although I guess it could have been, but it wasn't. And the Commanders, they waited a couple of days, but the Commanders did the right thing there. I don't care what happened in court the other day, and now people are starting the drumbeat of Brandon McManus. Maybe he's back in the NFL. Maybe he comes back to the Commanders if they struggle again with Coy. No! No. He was fired correctly. He was fired correctly. Just like this person who's been working here for 4 years, who I, again, wouldn't know if I ran into him head-to-head, face-to-face, in any way, shape, or form. I never heard of this guy. Well, guess what? That doesn't mean that he's insignificant, because he was significant, I assume, to somebody and to some group in the organization, but he is insignificant to me. But I just throw that out there to say, well, maybe it's easier for me to say he should have been fired immediately because he's insignificant to me, but he should have been fired immediately because of the things he said. Not because he's insignificant, not because he's not a player, not because he's not a coach, not because he's not the general manager or an administrator on the football side. This had, again, let's just be clear, this had nothing to do with football operations. You know, this guy worked in the business operations standpoint, and he just flat out should have been fired, and that's it.
I guarantee you wouldn't say what he said about the players to their face. He would have got it smacked across his damn face.
You know, maybe he's got to come in and clean out his office, and maybe somebody can...
Hopefully he doesn't have to walk by Big 94. Oh, wait, his back's hurt. Oh, Ron wouldn't be able to do anything. His back's hurt.
Somehow, we are going to transition from that to this.
I'm the transition god.
Yeah.
You know what?
Deron. You know what? We were going to get into Jaden Daniels, and we're still going to get into Jaden Daniels in just a little bit. Deron Payne was limited in practice with a back. We do not know.
Can we clarify this though?
We do not know if it's sore, if it's twisted, if it's pain, if it's tight. We don't know.
I think
he was limited.
We do a bad job as media. We do a bad job as media. Explaining what limited in practice means. We do a bad job of that. Well, Kyle Pitts, Atlanta fans are going berserk because Kyle Pitts was listed as limited with a hamstring. Kyle Pitt confirmed, yeah, limited because I took two less reps. Limited does not mean, that means they took away from your regular workload.
Understood.
So limited is, I guess, the biggest thing.
It means you didn't do 100% of the work.
But the casual fan, the casual caller that we get sees limited on an injury report, it thinks, holy hell,
well,
what are they doing? How are they going to move forward?
This is where we have to explain and where we will do a good job. Limited does not mean, again, he did not, and that's why I said we don't know. I was about to say, we don't know what exactly limited means and how. It could be 10% of the snaps. Yeah. It could be that he took 98% of the snaps or the reps or the work. We don't know. They don't. First of all, they issue the press release late in the afternoon or the injury report late in the afternoon. So it's after the dignitaries talk. Now, that being said, even if they were to talk after that, they're not going to give you much, unless it's probably rosy or optimistic. They're going to say, well, yeah, he was limited as the injury report said, and we'll see as the week goes along. Okay. But specific to a back.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, we'll have to wait and see what Deron Payne does today, what he's officially listed as, but that probably won't happen until after our show. Specific to a back, again, you could have a sore back. You could have a tight back. You could have back pain. You could have any number of ailments that force you to list a back injury and force you to maybe not take 100% of the work. So, to your point, nobody should be ultra panicking here, especially because we have to wait and see what happens today. But here's why you should be concerned. And again, panic is different than concern, Linnell.
Yes.
I am not panicked, but I am concerned. And I think it's right to be concerned. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you. They traded John Ridgeway last week. Okay? And for whatever reason they had. Jerzon Newton, who is also limited, who has been limited in or out every single day that he's been here, okay, and has now officially run out of feet to get surgically repaired, unless he's got a third foot that I don't know about. You should be concerned because Jerron Payne, who has not played at all in the preseason, has some type of back injury, and his two main backups, or I should say one is now in New Orleans, and one has not been healthy for one single day of his entire time here.
It's not good, Chris. I'm gonna tell you what it is. It's not good. And the reason it's not good, and normally in a situation like this, it's my job to calm you down. I was getting a haircut yesterday, one of our fans walked in.
Ooh.
And my barber was egging me on to do the voice, is what he calls it, my TV voice. And I was chastising him, and the fan goes, "Is that Linnell?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, you got me." He said, "Man, I was just listening to you and Rooster go at each other."
Whoa.
So normally this is a situation where I got to calm you down, but it is a little bit of a concern when you consider, as you mentioned, Ridgeway no longer being in town.
Right.
And then the interior pass rush is what this group is depending on to be its primary source of getting to the quarterback.
Right.
They're supposed to be the group that spearheads that charge. Dorrance Armstrong, I think, has the potential to be a 10-sack guy, but in this large role, playing this amount of snaps, I don't know how good he's going to be. Dante Fowler has never been a full-time starter. Cleveland Farrell is trying to resurrect his career. So there's a lot of moving parts, and like, let's just be real here. When you're going up against Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan, if you can't get pressure on Baker Mayfield, it is going to be a long, long, long afternoon. And guess what? As eager as we are, right, to see the creativity up front with the stunts, loops, games, twists.
You haven't gotten that on a t-shirt yet?
I know. Just because we're enamored by that doesn't mean that, like, they're not going to blitz. And if they aren't able to get home with four, and then you're consistently having to send five and six, eventually the offensive line picks it up and you have some gaping holes in your defense. That's what I worry about.
Well, that presumably will be a problem, but there's also other problems that are associated with this. So we'll just finish up on Jerron Payne and until we get more information on the other side quickly. And then we're going to get into Jaden Daniels. And I want you guys to start thinking about this, whether it be via social media, at WrestleMania621, at Nell_BTP, the radio station at Team980. Maddie's at Mr._Me93. So if you can't get in on the phones, don't want to wait on hold, what have you, you can do it that way, or you can call 301-230-0980. We're going to get into how much Jaden Daniels has to or should not throw on Sunday in order for the Commanders to win. We'll touch on that coming up after 1:30. We'll finish up on Jerron Payne and the defensive line coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.
For you to think that you're getting free pictures of me, Chris Russell, crazy.
Damn it, I'll take whatever pictures I want. I've already taken one. I have some professional moral scruples, unlike others. And I didn't post the picture that I actually did take.
Well, I would say I just made a sly reference to it on Twitter. Look, I am in picture-taking mode, I guess. I am in a picture-taking attire.
Right. Because you got your fancy dress shirt on?
I'm just trying to do my best, Chris Russell.
Okay.
You know, you came in here yesterday, khakis, collared shirt.
Well,
I figured, who the hell am I?
I got a collared shirt, too. I just don't have the khakis today.
Hey,
I have
Matt,
the blue jeans.
Check it out. Shirt's inside in. Shirt's right side in. Attaboy.
Exactly. Pockets right here, baby. Now, I do have a pen in there that's surely to explode, but we'll figure that out. All right. Just getting rock and rolling here on a Throwdown Thursday. So we opened up with Jerron Payne limited. They've already traded John Ridgeway. We know Jazon Newton in no way, shape, or form can be counted on in any way.
I will say this.
If they get 15, 20 snaps out of him on Sunday, I'll be surprised.
Chris,
have no idea. I know you're talking to people.
He's playing.
Okay, fine.
He should play. I'm just saying.
He should play. But you cannot book him for 30 or 40 high-quality snaps.
Well, did you hear what Joe Witt said? Joe Witt said that John Allen and Daron Payne are going to be on the field at all times, is what he. That was a quote from him today.
Well, that's exactly what I don't want. Because those guys have played too much, and nobody can tell me that, yes, in addition to them trading Chase Young and Montez Sweat on Halloween and basically halfway through the year last year, and yes, in addition to James Smith-Williams and F.A. Obata soon after going out, part of the reason why this defensive line stunk last year, especially as the season wore on, is because those guys played too many damn snaps.
But...
and that's exactly part of the reason why they, in addition to their draft board and their value and their grade, that's exactly why a smart general manager like Adam Peters said, oh, wait a second, I've got a problem here. I've got to figure this out.
Do you think he addressed it in a smart way? Because I damn sure wouldn't have chose Johnny Newton. I would have chose Kamari Lassiter. And got me an outside corner.
Then you're not addressing the defensive line. I'm talking about specifically the defensive line. They had a bigger issue there than anybody was willing to admit, including myself. Because
the issue self-created by Josh Harris. He wanted to trade Montez and Chase. What do you mean? That was a Josh move. Everyone want to talk about owners not doing...
It made sense to do that.
To leave yourself with no edge rusher. No, it didn't. It didn't make sense to leave yourself bare.
Did Josh Harris know that F.A. Obata and James Smith-Williams...
If anyone was counting on those guys to be regular starters, you're counting on them
to be a part of the rotation along with Casey Tuhill, along with some other Scribinis, K.J. Henry and Andre Jones. My point is you were counting on five guys, not two guys. You know, and I'm not talking about the burger chain.
I was about to say, I can go for a Mark Mosley special.
Exactly. So anyway, listen, here's the bottom line. If they're going to say that John Allen and Daron Payne should be on the field all the time...
Did you see that, though, by the way?
Did I see what?
The quote.
Sure, he just spoke like 45 minutes ago. Yes, but I don't go crazy over quotes like you do, okay? What I'm telling...
Excuse me.
I'm just telling you. I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. Jonathan Allen last year... Okay, let me give you something here. Jonathan Allen last year played 867 snaps. Okay?
It's a lot.
Well, you say, like, Chris, safeties play, starting corners play 1,000 snaps. There's a huge difference between a 195-pound corner and a 315-pound defensive tackle who is getting mashed and mauled all game long in basically a car wreck playing 1,000 snaps. Now, he didn't play 1,000 snaps. He played 867. You know what 867 represents in my eyes? 867 represents way too bleeping much. The year before that, he played 802. 802. I thought that was too much. That's part of the reason why they went out and got Fedarian Mathis. Because Fedarian Mathis can't stay on the field, they've had to play Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne way too much. So if you're going to tell me, regardless of what Joe Witt said in some press conference and some quote, whatever, if you're going to tell me that you're going to play these guys for 800 plus snaps a year, that's not a good plan. That's a dumb plan. I'll give you one more. Daron Payne, in his breakout year, 11.5 sacks 2 years ago, played 907 snaps. 907 snaps in 2022. In 2023, just giving you this, he played more! 924. Way too much. I am concerned about this defensive line. I was already... ultra concerned about defensive end, pure defensive end. I'm talking about Cleveland Farrell. I know they list Dante Fowler as an edge, as an outside linebacker. I consider him a defensive end. I'm talking about that, letting go of K.J. Henry, of course, letting go of Andre Jones. That not a big deal. Not having enough plan there. I understand you can scheme some of it with Jamin Davis. I understand, again, Fowler is considered an edge, blah, 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 blah. I understand Frankie Louvu is going to be part of that mix, Linnell, but they have counted on these. They have over-relied on these guys, and now it seems like they're about to do the same damn thing. And then we're going to go, scheme. Why can't they find a way to tackle? And why can't they find a way to stop running attacks? Well, when you're playing your starting defensive tackles 900 snaps a year because you don't have a good backup plan or because guys run out of feet to get surgery on, that's a problem. That's a major problem in my eyes.
Yeah, but I think the bigger issue is going to be if Joe Witt, or how Joe Witt, rather, strikes that balance of trying to let these guys win, rushing one-on-one, and then blitzing and sending and calling your stunts, games, loops, twists, etc. Like that, to me, it's...
How did I know that was coming?
But no, you poke fun at it, but you know in reality, like, it's a real big-ass question I'm asking, because the last thing you want to do is get caught with your pants down, and now Rashad White is bursting into the second level without being touched.
I'm teasing you. Can we just not have them on the field for 70 snaps in a high humidity first game situation?
That's why Johnny Newton potentially being on a pitch count is massive. Anyone counting on Phil Mathis because he played well against the backups on the Dolphins and the Patriots on crack.
You might not have a choice. They traded everyone else. They don't have anybody else that they can count on.
And if you read Johnny Cakes Kimes' ESPN preview, he thinks they're trading John Allen at the deadline.
Maybe. We'll dive into more concerns and questions coming up after the trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so indeed, as we opened up the show after a controversial day yesterday in which a secretly recorded video came out of Commanders Vice President Rael Antin, thanks to the O'Keefe Media Group, in which he called Jerry Jones basically a racist, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell a $50 million puppet, and other things about Commanders players and homophobic behavior and thoughts. Rael Antin has been fired by the organization and officially confirmed by the Washington Commanders this morning. He was apparently set up on the dating app Hinge, and it turned out to be an undercover operation for, again, the O'Keefe Media Group, meeting twice in the middle of June at restaurants in Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, the Commanders back on the practice field again for a second day in a row as they get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4:25 on Sunday, we will have pregame coverage for you with my co-host right here, right now. Oh, how about that? Lynnell Willingham and the Denton Day will take you on Sunday afternoon starting at 2 o'clock. I will be at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. So we will certainly have coverage for you all day. And from the world of the NWSL, Commanders co-owner Magic Johnson has joined the Washington Spirit as an investor to the team. It is unknown exactly how much of a purchase he is making, but Magic Johnson, who is, again, a co-owner and investor in the Washington Commanders and other businesses, is now a part of the Washington Spirit family, and that's what's trending. All right, it is official. I have to spend the money that I don't want to spend on a new computer. My computer just sucks. I mean, it is worse than the defensive tackle rotation and maybe the defensive line of the Washington Commanders entering week one.
Now you're doing the hyperbolic shtick that I won't participate in.
Oh, okay. Is that the way we can kick you off the show? Is that the way we can avoid you sabotaging the show by doing hyperbolic shtick?
Our guy Eddie D says, one, why no photo? And then he says he's more concerned about the O-line and run game. D-line should be okay. I actually agree with him. I agree with Eddie.
More concerned about the O-line than the D-line.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about them both.
Update real quick, too, on the offensive line. Cornelius Luke is taking individual first team reps,
which is what he did yesterday.
Again,
listen, like, this was easy to smell. Like, Kevin Sheehan does the smell test. Mm-hmm. I mean, I smelled this on Tuesday with Doc. There was no reason to list Brandon Coleman as the number one left tackle. Even though that's an unofficial public depth chart, people take it as official. People take it and go, oh, well, there's You know, they're going to have Brandon Coleman start. And I'm not saying that Brandon Coleman has no chance to start.
Yeah.
Brandon Coleman did not play in a single game. Missed basically 2.5 weeks of practice, for crying out loud. Why anybody would think he's just going to automatically, as a rookie, a third round. I mean, this is not Trent Williams, the number 4 overall pick. This is not Andrew Thomas, the number 4 overall pick from a couple of years ago. You remember when everybody was mad that Ron took Chase Young and didn't take Justin Herbert, and he wouldn't have taken Justin Herbert anyway, and they would have taken Andrew. But people conveniently forget it. This is not that.
No, it's not.
This is not that. Cornelius Lucas should be starting on Sunday. Whether he will or not, I don't know. I don't play that game anymore. I'm telling you what should happen. And I'm not in practice, but I'm telling you, Brandon Coleman, just logic and just common sense, as good as he might be. And I'm not saying it's going to be long. He probably isn't ready. He probably isn't fully up to, even though he was a full participant in practice. Yes, of course, I'm worried about the offensive line. I mean, Andrew Wiley is Andrew Wiley.
But that's the thing. I'm not worried about the tackles. I'm worried about the tackles.
I'm more worried about the interior. I agree.
Tyler Biadasz, yes. And Nick Allegretti. Sam Cosmi is a walking badass. I don't worry about that.
Maybe Cosmi obviously can help Biadasz with Vita Vea, but
leave Wiley on an island with Yaya Diaby, who's everyone's pick.
You can't double every snap. You can't two-man every snap.
It's going to be hell. I'm going to tell you like it is. And this is where I mentioned this last night. If Washington cannot, first two things here. One, you have to consistently, this is a non-negotiable, Chris. Mm-hmm. You must stay ahead of the chains against this group.
I agree.
You cannot get into third and long. You've got to be in third and medium to third and short if you get to third down. To me, the best way to do that, whether it's by hook or by crook, whether it's jet sweeps, whether it's, you know, running power all day long, whatever you find that you're comfortable, that you've schemed up in your running game, that is what it's got to be. I'm not afraid to run Jayden Daniels on Sunday. It's the regular season, damn it. He should have the 6, 7, 8 carries on Sunday. They got to run the football, Chris. And I know people are going to say, oh, you're Baby Russell. It's not at all Baby Russell. That is football logic 101. They must run the football, Chris, or they're not going to have a shot.
Right.
Baby Russell.
So we'll get back to the defensive line and the offensive line and bigger concern and whatever in a sec. But that leads us obviously into the crux of what we wanted to really highlight in this first hour and get you guys aboard in at 301-230-0980, which is they of course have to run the football. There is no – don't listen – I'm telling you, don't listen to the number nerds. Don't listen to the analytics amigos who are getting ready to take over and center stage, okay? I'm just telling you, don't listen to this nonsense that the only way, the best way for the Washington Commanders to win this Sunday in Tampa is to throw the ball 35-plus times, 40 times, whatever it is. Do not listen to that. Because the fact of the matter is, the more Jayden Daniels throws the football this Sunday, the worse the Commanders will be. And that may sound crazy because he's the number 2 overall pick and the Heisman Trophy winner, and he does seemingly everything right, and he's been very good taking care of the football. He's been great in the red zone, and he's got a good enough arm, and he struck up the band time and time again, deep post middles, running to Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, running wide open in the SEC, which is a little bit overrated from a defensive perspective. All of that stuff, right? It would seem illogical to say the more he throws, the worse off they are. But Linnell, I'm telling you, the more he throws, the worse off they are. Because, A, Todd Bowles is just going to pin his ears back and blitz the crap out of him even more than he already does. And maybe we're talking 45%, 50% of the time. Who knows? Especially with some of the offensive line concerns and the fact he's a rookie, right? And that's a and that is in – I've been to Raymond James Stadium. That is not a quiet stadium. It is going to be hard for them to operate, okay? And on top of that, everybody is getting used to everybody on this Commanders team still. They do not have the cohesion on the offensive side of the ball that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have, that other good offenses have, like the San Francisco 49ers, like the Green Bay Packers now have. They do not have that cohesion. There is going to be confusion. There is going to be some issues in terms of communication. There is going to be guys just not being in the right spot, or maybe JD puts it in a spot, and you know, Terry breaks in, and Jaden Daniels, you know, throws it to the out, what have you. There's going to be all sorts of issues besides the fact that if you throw, let's just say, 35 or more times, it probably means that you are trailing by more than, I would guess. This is me, more than 7 points.
And that's the issue here. Some more numbers to give you context on the blitz. It's not, when we're saying, and when everyone's talking about this Todd Bowles defense and how aggressive they are, it's not because of reputation. These are numbers. These are facts. They blitzed 273 times last year. That was the third most of the National Football League. Yep. They were seventh in the NFL in sacks. They get after the quarterback. It's what they do. And against a rookie, I'd have to think, Chris, I'm going out on a limb here, I would think those blitz numbers are ratcheted up.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I would have to think so.
That's what I said. I mean, it was 40.1% according to Pro Football Reference last year. What part of you would be, like, I would be stunned if Todd Bowles just rolls back, plays a soft cover two, and just plays soft. Now, I would expect them to play more zone because younger quarterbacks
struggle to find those more windows, with zone. Yes.
So, but you can hide and you can jump in and out of that, especially, again, a mostly vet. Now, they don't have Shaq Barrett. Okay, so that is.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Yaya Diaby had 4.5 sacks last year, and then he's a guy that they feel like is about to turn that corner.
Joe Tryon, Sharinka, whatever his name is.
We've mentioned Vita.
Exactly. And that's kind of the problem. If you put Jaden Daniels in a situation where he's got to throw more than, I'll say 35, more than 35
Chris,
times,
I'm at 30.
That's a problem.
My golden number for him, and I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, I'm 25 to 27 attempts.
I don't think that's unfair.
Like, that's where I would be.
If you came to me and said, I ran 60 offensive plays on Sunday.
Can I ask you that? And you're better at this than I am. Mm-hmm. Is that the average amount of offensive snaps that a team normally gets?
I don't know. I would have to do the math on that. I would have to divide it by game, which I probably can do during the break. So just give me a chance. But I'm just you know, because every game is different. Every series is different.
Right.
Circumstances, all of that, right? I mean, obviously, if you're trailing from way behind, you're probably going to run more plays because you're not running the ball as much. You're throwing, obviously, much more. You're doing more, probably no huddle, fast pace, what have you. And remember, Cliff has a propensity to run a lot of up-tempo and a lot of no huddle.
And I think in these conditions, that could be to their favor.
Well, that could be. But what you want to do is do that, I think, on first to second down, more than second to third down, or more than all the time. But you want to allow Jaden to get into a rhythm without over-forcing it. And again, I say over-forcing it. You say, excuse me, you say sweet spot is 25 to 27.
For sure.
I will tell you this. I'm using 35 because I think that's a number that 35 tells us they're losing, and they're losing probably by more than one score, which is not a good thing. You do not want Jaden Daniels, 8 minutes to go, down by 10 points. You don't want to put him in that situation. I know people would be thrilled if they come out and they're down by 10 with 8 minutes to go, and he engineers a comeback, and somehow they win in regulation or in overtime. People would be out of their mind. That's not what you want, people.
It'd be great, but it's not. It's not what you want. It's not the ideal set of circumstances.
It means the first 3+ quarters went crappy.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You don't want the first 3+ quarters to be crappy. 25 to 27, I think, is a really good number. I would even say this. If I could get 23 to 25, if I could shorten this game.
That means you're running the piss out of
football. I know.
And I like that.
But that means I'm being effective. And you mentioned the run game, however you have to do it. I'm telling you, people are sleeping on this. I saw it all during training camp. I know you saw it. Austin Ekeler on toss pitches or shovel tosses, turning the edge, running away from Vita Vea, stretching that Buccaneers
defense. Making him get horizontal.
In the humidity is going to be the way you want. And here's one other way to do it. I mentioned this with Doc the other day. I don't know how much you buy into this. I'm telling you, Luke McCaffrey, the rookie, who is listed as a starter, who knows if he's actually going to start it out. Luke McCaffrey and Jamison Crowder, assuming he's active, I think they're going to be big on jet sweeps, not only for eye candy purposes, but actual gives, again, to keep stretching and to keep trying to attack and soften up the perimeter.
The one thing that I think, and there are going to be some massive differences from preseason, that maybe that's something we can get into as well. What are the big differences we expect from the offense between preseason and the regular season? I think during the preseason, we saw the Cliff Kingsbury element of the offense. What I think we see during the regular season is the Brian Johnson element of the offense, where you get more of these power spread looks and you're running the option series.
Hold that thought, because I think that's an interesting area for us to dive into. Plus, we got a bunch of calls which we'll sprinkle in here. But that's an interesting comparison point, I guess, for lack of a better term, that I want you to expand upon in just a couple of moments right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we'll tackle your phone calls just as soon as possible. Just hang in there, guys. We're coming at you. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Linnell, you were making a point that we saw more of what Cliff Kingsbury's offense is. Now you think it's going to morph a little bit into Brian Johnson,
Yes.
who is the former offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, who was with the Eagles, of course, last year and was basically blamed for a lot of their demise. Shane Steichen was the offensive coordinator of the Eagles when Jalen Hurts had the breakout year. They went to the Super Bowl, so on and so forth. But now Brian Johnson is here as a top assistant. What is he? What's his official title?
Pass game assistant head coach?
An assistant head coach,
and
right?
An offensive pass game coordinator.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that?
So I think the past couple of years in Philadelphia, first of all, credit to Brian Johnson. Him getting blamed for what happened last year down the stretch is just very on brand for Eagles fans. Nick Sirianni has came out since and said, hey, look, a lot of that had to do with me. I don't know if that's him being a good head coach or what. But that Philadelphia offense, they run what I like to call the power spread, in terms of they'll run from their four wide sets. They'll run from, you know, their tight ends in the slot. They'll go two tight end, wide receivers on the edge. But the big thing in that is the option series actually being utilized. They ran triple option. They ran quarterback power. They ran your traditional read option. And I think with Jaden, and that's going to scare the hell out of you, that's where I think they lean this Sunday, especially when you're trying to combat an aggressive, head-hunting defensive front. I know you all don't give me much credence because I was a former Division III defensive lineman. But anybody out there that plays D-line will tell you, it is a pain in the ass when you can't just haul ass upfield and go get go chase the football, when you got to worry about staying in your gap and maintaining gap integrity and not letting guys get outside. I'll give you the perfect example outside of Commanders and Bucks. Whenever the Eagles play the Dallas Cowboys, Micah Parsons is a no-show. One, going up against Big Lane Johnson's tough anyway, but they consistently put him in the option series and make him make a decision. When you've got to hesitate and you've got to think, that is how you can slow things down. I like what you said, though, about getting on the edge, because I think as big and nasty and physical as Vita Vea is, the big boy can't be in too great a shape. But you're that size to think that you can play 70 snaps is crazy. If you can get him running horizontally, sideline to sideline, and not just allow him to scream upfield, you're going to get him gassed out. And then that's when, like you said, tempo becomes a thing. Because it's one thing to be, you know, the old signal is tap yourself on the head. That's how you get a blow. That's how you get somebody to come get you. If we're running hurry up, we don't have to allow you to sub. So I think that is where it can get interesting for Washington and where they can have a leg up. But I think in the preseason, we saw a lot of quick game. We saw them push the ball down the field vertically. We saw them hit on some of these over routes. I think that's more traditional Cliff Kingsbury type of stuff. I think the diversity in the running game is what I think you'll get out of Brian Johnson, why I dubbed the offense exotic smash mouth football. I think you'll see, like you said, jet sweeps with McCaffrey. I'd like to see Terry McLaurin in the damn jet sweep. He is the best guy with the ball in his hands.
Oh, I mean, you could see that. I'm just telling you what. I'm just guessing based on maybe some hints and some intel.
Sure. And don't be surprised if a jet sweep turns into a pass from Luke McCaffrey.
I mean, it It could. He's a former quarterback, to your point. All right, 157 and change. Team 980, let's take the break right now, and then we're going to get right to your calls. I promise you. I see you. I'm out in Rockville. Lou in D.C. Ed and Alexandra, you'll be first up. We'll tackle you guys first up in the 2 o'clock hour, so don't go anywhere. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.